Rosie TV.
A weird thing happened. Really strange. I was going to talk about Paul's mysterious statement in 1 Corinthians 10:11 that we are those to whom the consummations of the eons have attained. Now, I know what that means, but it took a while to figure out what that means because that's a tough statement. I thought, well, maybe I'll give that some more thought, and maybe I'll talk instead about what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:16, that some of Paul's writings were hard to understand. So, it's amazing what one cigarette will do. So, I'm outside smoking one cigarette, and then it hit me. These two things are related. The consummations of the eons attaining to us was the thing, or one of the things anyway, that Peter found hard to understand. What a breakthrough. Well, nicotine is one of the gifts of God. Smoking's probably not the best vehicle for it, but nicotine itself, if you follow the latest studies, is actually quite beneficial. This is Martin Zender. I would like to thank Lawrence in Ohio for sending me this kettle corn. He and his wife make kettle corn professionally. They sell it at fairs and festivals and such. And every now and then, Lawrence sends me a care package. And I'm telling you, this stuff's like crack cocaine. It is addicting. It's hard to stop. I'm going to stop because it's very rude to eat in front of everyone. But I just wanted to thank Lawrence for the care package that I got today. And the envelope under the popcorn was very nice as well. Thank you, Lawrence. What a blessing you and the rest of the body of Christ is to me. Sustenance. These are gifts that keep me going. Not just gifts of popcorn, kettle corn to be specific, but your encouragement. My goodness, the things you have said in your comments in the last two shows have been so encouraging to me. So I thank you very much for that. The reason I can't comment on the show I did, the broadcast, the live stream that I did yesterday with Catherine Holmes, is because it hasn't happened yet. I'm a time traveler. This actually has also something to do with the consummations of the eons have attained to us. I'm making this show a day ahead of time. So as I'm making the show, the live stream is 1 hour away. Well, I have an hour, but I'm going to make the show, try to get some of it edited. So then at 6:30, I can relax and join all of you in the live stream. So thank you. And I meant to mention something that Greg Davis wrote two shows ago concerning the cross not being the central message of the circumcision gospel, but it is for us. Their central message is Christ as the Messiah. Ours is the cross and what it accomplished. And Greg Davis put it in a real nutshell. He says it's the difference between who Christ is and what he did. Boy, that was good, right? For Israel, it's who Christ is. That is, he is the Messiah, and he's the one there to put their confidence in, to bring them into the kingdom. But for us, as I explained yesterday, it's what Christ did at the cross, what he accomplished. And this has to do with the consummations of the eons attaining to us. 1 Corinthians 10:11, to whom the consummations of the eons have attained. We are far ahead in spirit of what God is going to accomplish in the future. In other words, what God is going to accomplish in the future. It's like he goes to the ends of the upcoming eons and all the wonderful, marvelous things he's going to accomplish in the future. And he brings it to us. And he says, here, I want you to have this now. I'm not going to make you wait like I do Israel. Israel is a linear people. I'm going to be explaining that. We are not a linear people. We are those to whom the consummations of the eons have attained. We get the spiritual blessings now of things that God is not going to do for thousands of years. This is rare, and this is what I think caused Peter to scratch his head. Well, to be fair to Peter, he didn't say that he didn't understand them. He just said, well, let's look at the quote there. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 15. And beseeming the patience of our Lord's salvation, according as our beloved brother Paul also writes to you. Don't trip over our brother Paul. Peter and Paul were brothers in the faith. They were brothers in the Lord. They were not brothers in Christ. According as our beloved brother Paul also writes to you, according to the wisdom given to him. He's talking about none other than the letter to the Hebrews, because that is the only letter Paul wrote. I think here is proof that Paul wrote Hebrews. According as our beloved brother Paul also writes to you, according to the wisdom given to him, as also in all the epistles. Now he's referencing Paul's epistles to the nations, speaking in them concerning these things, in which are some things hard to apprehend. Peter just says they're hard to apprehend. He didn't apprehend them, but you get the sense that it was an uphill battle for Peter to understand what Paul was doing. And Peter got several helps along the way. He had that sheet lowered to him in Caesarea, the Lord declaring things that Peter considered unclean to now be clean. That was helpful. And as I said yesterday, Paul's reference of Abraham, maybe that was 2 days ago, Paul's reference of Abraham believing God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness, the proto-evangel, that helped Peter understand what Paul was doing. And I don't think Peter had as much trouble apprehending justification by faith as he did that we, the body of Christ, are not linear. That we already have blessings that God is not going to bring to the universe for thousands of years. So Peter talks about in which some things are hard to apprehend, which the unlearned and unstable are twisting, as the rest of the scriptures, also to their own destruction. We know Paul's words have been twisted terribly, even by some in near proximity to our camp. But that's okay. It's always going to happen. For instance, them saying that we teach that people should sin just because where sin increases, grace superabounds. That is a twisting, and it's unstable people who are doing that. Unlearned people are doing that. Peter might have been tempted himself at some time to do that. You're giving these people license, Paul, but Peter learned not to do that. Paul spent 15 days with Peter at one point, and I think he brought him up to speed, or as up to speed as he could on some of these things. So when Paul says the consummations of the eons, you notice it's plural. The consummations of the eons, this is 1 Corinthians 10:11, have attained to us. I don't think he's talking about eons past, but the eons future, eon 4 and eon 5. The consummations, that is, the ends, the finishes, the things that God is going to accomplish at the end of eon 4 and eon 5 have spiritually come to us so that we may now live in their reality and not have to wait for them to transpire linearly. I'll explain to you what I think those things are, but first I'll explain to you how I believe Israel is a linear people. They go step by step by step. First, they're introduced to the law via Moses. Then they find out they can't do law. Moses says there's one coming after me, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord appeared, and the Lord said he was the Messiah, he was the coming one, the Christ, and they were to put their faith in him. And so the ones who were spiritually astute did that the day of Pentecost, when Peter implored them to repent of crucifying the Son of God. Yeah, that was a bad move. Good move of Peter to implore them to repent. Bad move to kill their own Messiah. And yet, pardon was offered at that time for Israel. Then, to read the letter to the Hebrews, to come to an understanding that the kingdom was not going to come right away, that there was this unknown period of time that Paul does not go into detail concerning in the book of Hebrews. Obviously, that's not the purpose of the letter. But they have to wait, like the heroes of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, for the kingdom to come. And then, of course, John tells them of things that are going to happen in the future. And all along, they're to look for these things. They're to prepare. It's just one thing, step, 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 step. That's what I mean when I say Israel is a linear people. Now, what do I mean by, what does Paul mean by the consummations of the eons have attained to us? Well, Exhibit A, 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 16. So that we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh. From now on, acquainted with no one according to flesh. And that right there is would be difficult for Israel to grasp. It's hard for us to grasp. Yet even if we have known Christ according to flesh, nevertheless we know him so no longer. So that if anyone is in Christ, listen to this. If anyone is in Christ, not in Jesus, not in the Israel Messiah, but in Christ, there is a new creation. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. This new creation looks forward to the destruction of this present earth, when there will be a new heavens and a new earth. Peter writes about it, but Paul says that it has now attained to us. We are to live in newness of life now. We don't have to wait for the actual newness of life to come. This is the whole challenge of Paul's gospel. This is why we walk by faith, not perception. Exhibit B, Colossians. Chapter 1, starting with verse 11. Paul wants the saints to be growing in the realization of God. This is necessary if we're going to apprehend these things of the future. I think he's looking even past the 1,000-year kingdom, and he's looking at the great white throne. But before that, this present heavens and this present earth are destroyed. This happens at the end of Aeon 4. This is the crisis in between Aeons 4 and 5. It's the destruction of the old, and Paul looks toward that new earth as a picture of us living in this new creation truth, this new humanity truth, way far ahead of Israel. Because during the 1,000 years, as I said, they're still not even coming into the truth of justification. We come into that now. I think probably Israel will come into that truth during Aeon 5, the new heavens and new earth, because on the new earth there is no temple. And so the whole priesthood system is abolished at that time, and they have a more intimate relationship with God. There's no more sacrifices being offered for sin. And so, if you were to ask me, I would say that finally Israel will be coming into justification, at least understanding it, maybe heralding it, because Israel will still be kings during, yes, Israel still, anytime you're talking about earth, whether it's the present earth or the new earth, Israel has preeminence. So we know that from the 12 gates of the new Jerusalem that descends from heaven onto the new earth. The 12 gates has the names of the 12 apostles on them. So we're still looking at Israel, but the priesthood has retired because there's no temple. Israel's kings and priests, but they're no longer priests at this time. They are now kings. We move into this already. We're already in this new earth, this new creation truth. The new earth is a picture. I'm going to go to another verse that will show you this. The new earth is a picture of us being a new creation. At the end of the 30, on the beginning of Aeon 4, this earth is going to be regenerated. See, it's not going to be destroyed, not until the end of Aeon 4. So Israel is looking forward to what? The reformation of this earth. The curse is going to be removed, but it's still going to be the same earth. This corresponds with Israel being born again, regenerated. I told you before that Israel is a reformed old humanity, just as this old earth is reformed. That is, the curse comes off of it during the 1,000 years. So they're plodding along, waiting for these things to happen. Yet Paul just shoves us right into it. Or I should say, he takes the things in the future and shoves them at us and says, you've attained to this. No, these things have attained to you. It's hard to get the wording right. It's so fantastic. The consummations of the eons have attained to us. So the consummation of Eon 4 is a new heavens and a new earth. What's the consummation of Eon 5? God all in all. We already have that. Israel, what are they looking forward to? They're looking forward to being kings and priests on the earth and bringing the other nations to God. But that's not all in all, is it? No, because even during Eon 5, we have the second death still in operation. So there's still people who have not become all in all. That doesn't happen until the consummation, 1 Corinthians 15, specifically verse 26, now when death is abolished. And we're already, that time has come to us. We are already living in the abolition of death, even before it happens, way before it happens. And the salvation of all, God all in all, we're anticipating it. Yes, I'm not saying we're not anticipating it, but Paul is being very bold here and saying that that consummation has attained us. In other words, it has come down from its time, and we know that everything's already completed in God's plan, but it's come down to us. God has taken this amazing trophy, God all in all, and he brings it down through the last two eons and delivers it to us sitting here in the dirt in Eon 3. In Eon 3, we're being handed these shiny trophies. And like, what do I do with this? This is amazing. And that's why people look at us like we're nuts, because we've been, and these trophies don't look like anything you've ever seen in the world. They're like these weird, like weirdly shaped things, not your standard issue bowling trophy or your baseball league trophy. These are made of materials that are even unknown to man. People who see us being handed these amazing trophies, they put a spectrometer on them or something, trying to figure out what they're made of. Yeah, this is made from no substance ever known to humanity. What is this made of? So we're being given these far out of this world gifts. This is why the rest of the world thinks we're crazy. We're way ahead of our time. You know, in the 15th century, Leonardo da Vinci was drawing pictures of helicopters. Here it is. This is a vertical takeoff and landing craft. And Leonardo's drawing this thing in the 15th century. It's going to be 500 years before the freaking helicopter is invented. And there's this poor guy tortured by his own genius. I think they put him away in an asylum. They must have found this helicopter and just put this guy away. He's crazy. That's what people think of us. Put these people away. They're crazy. We're born out of season, ladies and gentlemen. We're not out of our minds, but we're out of our time, because the consummations of the eons have attained to us. I got exhibit. I think this is exhibit C. Paul wants us to be growing in the realization of God. I'm in Colossians 1:11. Being endued with all power in accord with the might of his glory for all endurance. I can't even pronounce this word. It's so difficult to do. Endurance. This calls for endurance, to have these things coming to us from the future. It's like entertaining a spaceman at your house. You're trying to hide him, but once in a while he gets out. He gets out and starts doing tricks and everything, and the neighbors look and go, oh my God, what's that? And you're like, psst, get back in here. I can't talk about it. I can't show you. People are going to think I'm crazy. I'm talking to spaceman over here. And we're basically talking to the inhabitants of the new earth. We're talking to God as he has already completed these things. I mean, we're burdened with this. Just like Leonardo was burdened with the drawing helicopters in the 1400s. Giving thanks at the same time to the Father who makes you competent for a part of the allotment of the saints in light. Listen to this, verse 13. Who rescues us out of the jurisdiction of darkness. This is crazy talk. Rescues us. It's being put in the aorist tense. which is a timeless tense. The English elements of the Greek word aorist, which is a name of a tense that we really don't have in the English. It's unhorizon. A and aorist. Aorist. Unhorizon. No horizon. So this is timeless, but he transport. Get this. He rescues us out of the jurisdiction. Slow down, sender. He rescues us out of the jurisdiction of darkness. Now, we know he is literally going to rescue us out. We are going to be delivered from the jurisdiction of darkness, extricated, Paul uses that word in Galatians, extricated out of the present wicked eon, but we are to live the truth now, because the consummations of the eons have attained us. Who rescues us, aorist tense, out of the jurisdiction of darkness and transports, aorist tense again, timeless, no horizon, transports us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. What? Transports us. Now we're really getting science fiction here. Did you ever dream of having a transporter? A time travel machine where you can transport yourself to the future? Well, we're not being transported to the future. The future is being transported to us. And Peter was hearing about these things during the 15 days he was with Paul, and he says, I need a drink. John, bring me a drink. Okay, Paul, slow down. Let's play some tiddlywinks or something. I need a break. Paul says, okay, we'll go slow. What is the kingdom of the Son of His love? I believe this is suggestive of Eon 5. The kingdom. Israel is kings during Eon 5. This is the Son. It's not Christ. It's the Son. Christ is the anointed one in the 1,000 years. And Eon 5 is a much improvement, much improved Eon on Eon 4. Eon 5, there's no death occurring. There are still people who are dead, but there's no death occurring. And we see the rule of God's Son, not necessarily the Christ here. I mean, still the same person, but Paul is very specific. It's not accident that he says the Son of His love rather than Jesus Christ or even Christ Jesus. So I found this today. This was really spectacular. Paul says, we are the ones to whom the consummations of the eons have attained. Listen to this in Acts 26:7. This is the same guy, the same Paul. He's testifying before, I think, Agrippa. And he says in verse 6, I'm in Acts 26, verse 6. And now, in expectation of the promise which came by God to our fathers, I stand being judged, to which our 12 tribed people, he's not talking anything about his ministry here. He's not even referencing it. He's talking about his people, Israel, the 12 tribed people, says that right here, verse 7, earnestly offering divine service night and day. So let me start this passage again. And now, in expectation of the promise which came by God to our fathers, Paul's expecting that promise to be fulfilled for them. He's not referencing the promises given to him at all. It would be all that Agrippa and Festus, it's all they can handle just to hear about this. They know about Israel. The promise which came by God to our fathers, I stand being judged, to which our 12 tribed people, earnestly offering divine service night and day, is expecting to attain. He's talking about his brothers according to flesh, not his brothers in Christ. His brothers according to flesh, the same people he's lamenting over in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. And he says of this 12 tribed people that they are earnestly offering divine service day and night, expecting to attain their promises, expecting to attain them. Israel is linear. They're looking forward to attaining them. They're expecting to attain them. That is primitive language compared to we, to whom the consummations of the eons have attained. This is the exact same word, katantao in the Greek, katantao, attain. What a contrast. I've never seen this before today. I'm saying, where else does this word occur, to whom the consummations of the eons have attained? Where else does this occur? I find Acts 26:7, and it's incredible, the difference. the 12 tribe people are hoping to attain their promises. We are the ones to whom the consummations of the eons have attained. Peter, I need a drink.